What's up, everybody? This is Neil Real, and this is Let's Please God, the ministry that helps you stay right with God, find victory over sin, over the devil, and all his devices. And once again, we're talking about narcissism, the spirit of Jezebel, and how to guard against future visits from Jezebel. Because once you get free from Jezebel, there's always a possibility of them trying to come back. And not the same person, but another one. There are many people out here with that spirit. And they're lurking around, you know, looking for you to have your guard down, looking for weaknesses in people to take advantage of them. And so we got to stay on guard. Last time we talked about one of the ways of being on guard is to guard your circle. You know, don't be so quick to just friend people and call people Christians and followers of God and brothers and sisters in Christ and all that stuff. But instead to wait and to watch to see if they share the same values as you. And then from there, treat them accordingly. So that's what we talked about last time. Today we're going to talk about another guard tactic. And this one is to increase your self-value and self-respect. You need to up your self-esteem. Okay? When you increase your self-esteem, you won't tolerate devaluing and disrespect from a narcissist and toxic people because their words will contradict your reality. Many of us were not esteemed enough growing up as children, and that's why we lack a healthy amount of self-respect or self-value. And this is what the narcissist took advantage of. I also want to link that low self-value and, you know, a lack of self-esteem is also connected to people pleasing. So people pleasers are usually have a low self-esteem. And so I want to explain that later on. But here's the origin of people pleasing. This lack of self-esteem has many roots, but one overlooked reason is the teachings from parents and school teachers and religion that they tell you that you got to be nice. You got to be nice people. You got to be compliant. You got to be agreeable. Don't talk back. If you go along with others, they will like you and you will be accepted. Now, that's kind of subconsciously, you know, communicated, but we've known that when you say no to somebody, they get all angry and stuff like that. Or when you tell your parents, I don't want to do this, they get angry. You know, school teachers, you start saying no. There's always these consequences for you saying no. However, you get nice treatment when you say yes and when you're agreeable. When you please people and give them what they want, they seem to smile. They seem to like you. And so this is how some of us were programmed. And how we became people pleasers. But the downside of this teaching is they never told us to equally be nice to ourselves, to look at our own self-interests and make sure those are taken care of. And that's where the imbalance of the teaching comes from. So I still haven't really answered the question, how is that connected to a lack of self-value? Well, when your emphasis are always on somebody else's needs and making sure they're happy and making sure they're pleased, you tend to neglect your own needs. And that's how you end up with low self-esteem, low self-value. Indirectly, you're not valuing yourself. People-pleasing makes you value others over yourself. Okay? And you need to value yourself right along with valuing other people. That's the balance right there. So the damage that comes from it is obvious. You end up sacrificing and neglecting your self needs and wants while, you know, helping somebody else out. This is what the narcissist takes advantage of, okay? You can also lose yourself as far as what you actually need. You'll start not even being able to articulate what you need because you've always been focused on what somebody else needs, helping somebody else, pleasing somebody else. So you don't even know what you really need or what you really want. Another side effect of this people-pleasing thing is you expect other people to be people-pleasers like you, and you end up disappointed. This would happen to me many times, okay? Primarily in the Christian church, because I'm thinking, well, my people-pleasing is really being selfless, and I'm helping people according to scripture, and I, you know, maybe I'll buy something for somebody, or I'll get something for somebody, or I remember helping somebody with groceries, and they needed food, but the bottom line is, I expected people to be nice, like I was trained to be nice growing up, and you know, and instead they weren't. So We've been trained, some of us have been trained to be nice, to be people pleasers, to be people who care about other people's needs, to put other people's needs before our own. And that has to change. You have to be balanced. You got to take care of yourself. All right. Yeah, so the last side effect of this is, of course, you being used and abused. You do something for somebody, they don't return a favor, or they exploit that, or they think that you're their source now that they can come to for things. So here's what we do about all of this. And this, once again, this is going to guard us from a narcissist. It's going to guard us from toxic people, anybody that wants to use us and abuse us. So first of all, you need to start doing this. Start saying no and really begin to focus on what you need. So sit down and get to know you again. Okay. What are your needs and your wants in life, in relationships, everything? Get you a sheet of paper or get your laptop out or whatever and start typing or writing or whatever. Figure this out. Okay. Write it down. Figure it out. Now, as long as your needs and wants don't conflict with others, you're free to pursue them. Because I can see people feeling concerned about, I don't want to be a selfish person. I don't want to be like the narcissist, where it's just all about me. Well, you're not going to be that way. And there's a scripture here I want to read. And some of these scriptures are often taken out of context to force us to be people who don't value ourselves and we put others ahead of us. But I just want to read this one here because this one is real clear. This is in Philippians chapter 2, verses 4. It says, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. This is something I practice often. However, I often neglected the first part where I did not look at my own interests. Because I figured they would look at my interests and return it some kind of way, or I don't have to really worry about it because I'm going to be taken care of on the back end. It doesn't work that way. You got to come in and say, look, these are my interests, but I'm also going to take in consideration your interests. And that's the difference between a person that is selfish and a person that is a follower of God or a moral individual. A selfish person does not care about the interests of others. They don't care about their needs. They will do something that will affect everybody else negatively, and they will walk away and not care about that because they're focused on what they want. They don't care about how that damages somebody else. The selfless person says, I have needs, but I'm going to make sure that my needs don't negatively affect this person. I'm going to make sure their needs are met as well. There's going to be reciprocation. There's going to be something where there's an equal exchange of value and both people are happy. You see, here's another passage here. And this one is usually taken out of context. This is John 15, 12 through 14. John chapter 15, verses 12 through 14 says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. So laying down your life can mean sacrificing your actual life. Some people equate it to giving, you know, your last dollar or really being a friend to somebody where you're sacrificing and giving them something. You're laying down a part of your life. And they use this to say you need to go all out for your so-called brothers and sisters in Christ. However, if you read the Bible in context, like I said, there's other passages. Make sure yourself is taken care of first in some cases. All right. Will sacrifice occur? Yes, especially with children. Sometimes, you know, children can't pay you back and some people can't pay you back. But the Lord says he'll return that. And this is what I've learned about selflessness and actually fulfilling the scripture here about laying your life down. You must do this with other people who are in Christ. You cannot lay your life down or be selfless with people from people who are in the world, from sinners and people like that. They're not going to give you anything back. And God usually is not going to give you anything back either. The way it works is this. If you give to God, he'll give it back. It's a reciprocation. God is an abundant source of everything. And so when you give to one of his children, if your brother or sister in Christ can't pay it back, God will make sure you get that back some kind of way. It'll come back. But I found that when I serve or when I give to people who are not in Christ, fake Christians, people I see on the street, it doesn't come back. And I said to myself, I've been giving so long. I've been giving to so many people. And yet now I need something and it's not coming back. It only works with your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's something I learned about giving money actually on the street. I stopped doing it. Unless I'm strongly prompted by the Holy Spirit and I feel like he's really telling me to give, I don't give anything anymore. Because I found that when I was in a situation when I need finances and I would ask strangers on the street, hey, you know what, this is where I'm at, this is what I need, I wouldn't get it back. And I realized that giving should be done amongst the saints primarily. Don't give to people who you don't know, who God has not prompted to give, okay? We got that mindset from the Catholic Church. Don't give to random people. It's not going to come back to you. It's just not. It's just not going to happen. All right. So I digress a little bit with that. And here's another passage. Proverbs 19:17. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord and he will repay him for his deeds. You think to yourself, OK, yeah. Proverbs is primarily written to who? Israelites. So within the Israelite environment, the Israelite government system and country, that works, and that you can apply those same principles to the saints. If you give to your brothers and sisters in Christ that you know are in Christ, then it will reciprocate. Even if they can't pay you back, God will pay you back some kind of way. It has to be your brother and sister in Christ. It only works amongst your own people. God, if you give to sinners that are not, have no connection to God, it's not coming back. As simple as that, is not coming back. But people take all these passages and think, oh, the average poor person on the street is asking for money. No, it ain't coming back. So stop giving to people on the street, random people, random organizations. OK, don't do it. Give to reputable organizations that you know, particularly people in Christ. All right. Anyway, let me get out of here because I'm digressing so much. So let's get back to this thing here. You want to sit down and you want to get to know yourself again. You want to get to know what your needs and your wants are. All right. And as long as your needs and wants don't conflict with others, you're free to pursue your needs. All right. So don't feel guilty when you say, you know what, this is what I want and this is what I expect to get. And also this, be mindful that your narcissist, so-called friends and family members and colleagues will begin to shame you for standing up for what you want and what you should accept. They'll start telling you you're selfish because you won't give them what they want. But in fact, they are selfish. Like I said before, they do projection. They project who they are onto you. So they're trying to shame you. They're projecting. Don't let it bother you. Stand for what you want. You have to value yourself. This is what valuing yourself looks like. I just want to give another example of the people pleaser versus the selfish person, because both of them are flawed. OK, so here's a selfish person. So this is the last meal for 2 weeks. Let's just say it's three men in the room. The selfish man takes that last meal and eats it all by himself. He doesn't share it with the other guys and they go hungry. All right. They knew, all of them knew about it, but he stole it in the night and ate it. They planned to eat it the next day, but he said, I'm going to go tonight and I'm going to eat all this up. And he was selfish and he ate the whole thing up. All right. The people pleaser works like this. There's three men. There's a one meal left. There won't be any food until 2 weeks from now. So this is our last meal, right? The people pleaser will serve out that meal to those guys and say, we're all going to partake in this, right? He puts the plate down, but he doesn't take his portion out first. The two guys get to eating. The people pleaser is just watching them, serving them. And then before you know it, they've ate all the food up. And the people pleaser is upset because he doesn't have anything to eat for two weeks now. The other guys ate, but the people pleaser did not take care of himself. See, that's what's happening. We're not taking care of ourselves. You must take into consideration your needs anytime you're interacting with somebody else. What do I want out of this? I don't want to be left with nothing. So I got to make sure that I get what I want. So don't think that you're selfish for taking care of yourself. You're practicing self-care. When you do this, you say you value the vessel that God gave you. That's what you're doing. It's not sin to be a person that values oneself, that takes care of oneself, right? So that's what you start doing, making sure you get what you need, all right? Draw your esteem from God. There are many scriptures in the Bible that talk about how God values you. He died for you. You know, begin to understand that you're valuable. You're worth a lot to the Lord. And when you start to see yourself the way God sees you, you won't let many of the things that happen to you happen. You may still help people, but you also take care of yourself too. For men, I want you to study kingship and patriarchy, because there's a lot of information and attributes of self-value within those topics. And it really helps to see how a king treats himself. He's responsible for the resources for everybody in the family. But at the same time, he's also taken care of. See, he's honored. His needs are first, but everybody else is taken care of. And this is especially important in a marriage with a man. And like I said, the gynocentric society has taught men today that the woman's needs are paramount and that he should be focused on what she wants and her comforts and her needs, when in fact, it's the other way around. In reality, according to biology, according to the norm, the man's needs are most important first. When his needs are met, then he can provide help for everybody else and everybody's happy. They have a saying that goes, happy wife, happy life. No, the woman should be focused on the husband first, what his needs are. And then from there, her needs are met. Okay, but that's another topic for another day. But men, I'm talking to you specifically about in some of these areas, you have to think of yourself as a king and a patriarch and study those areas so that you understand that you need to take care of yourself. You need to value yourself more. A lot of us simply just don't do it. Like I said before, we live in a culture that devalues us as men. And especially if you are classified as a black man, they don't respect you. And then you get it from the women with the gynocentric culture. And now you're being, you know, this misandry going on where they just hate you and they demean you, they disrespect you and all this kind of stuff. You have to rise above all of that. You need to create a value sheet. Okay, so not only just say this is what I'm accepting, not accept, but have an actual list of things that are important to you. This is the way I want to be treated. This is what I need in life. Set rules and standards for yourself. Like I have a few rules. I'm going to list a few of them. Here's a rule for me. I leave businesses that give me poor service. I don't keep patronizing a business that gives me poor service. I used to. And the reason behind it was oftentimes these businesses were scarce. They only sold special items, and so I felt like that's the only place I could get them. Now I know I can go to Amazon and get pretty much anything I want. But, you know, sometimes I prefer to go on local and just picking something up and getting it. But I had to learn that if you continue to put up with the abuse from certain racist businesses, you're just going to be devaluing yourself. So I made a rule. As soon as I start seeing things, I'm going to address it. I'm going to leave a bad review, and I'm going to be out of there. I'm not going to continue to patronize that business. In my profession as a web designer, web developer, web marketer, I made a rule to discard disrespectful clients because I'm trying to value myself. I'm not going to put up with clients who disrespect me. There's a saying in business, you know, the customer is always right and you just got to put up with that. No. Fortunately for me, I got many clients, so I don't have to deal with somebody mistreating me. They start talking funny or acting funny, that relationship is over with. And so I've written to clients and told them, look, it's the end of the conversation. This is the end of this relationship. Your behavior is toxic. It's disrespectful. You've decided you're not going to apologize for your behavior. So it's over with. No longer working with you. Another rule I have is I don't give time to people who haven't shown that they value my time. Certain women have come to me and they want to talk to me about their problems and stuff like that. And now I no longer even entertain most of this stuff. I found that some of them didn't value my time. So we would have a set time to talk. The time frame, you know, say it's 12 p.m. All right. she's not available at that time, you know, and she keeps changing the times or not being. So she's saying, I don't value your time. When I start seeing people do that, I just cut them off and say, look, you can't have this because you don't value it. If you want it, you show up on time, you are prompt, and you listen to what's being said and the advice that I'm giving you. This was a discipleship relationship that I had to end. But I make sure that people who, if I'm going to give my time, that you value my time, you respect me, and you respect what I'm saying as a teacher and a prophet of God. I have another rule, not working a job that has lied to me about the work. Sometimes I get contract positions that state what I'm going to be doing. I might be doing some design and development, and then I get into the job and it's mostly mundane task, maintenance, cleanups, fixing other people's problems. And I'm like, this is not what we signed up for. And they said, oh, it's cool, just deal with it. And I remember trying to deal with it because of the money at the time. And I said, you know what, this is devaluing to me. This type of work is devaluing to me. And it's not what I signed up for. So because I'm valuing myself, I'm saying I'm not going to take that, but I'm going to end this relationship because you lied to me about the job. So those are a few examples of setting some values and some rules for yourself. And I encourage you to do the same thing. Begin to start taking abuse from people and say, you know what, this is the way I want to be treated. And I have the right to be treated this way. And that's what you have to really give your permission to yourself for, that you have the right to be treated in the right way. You deserve to be treated with respect. Okay, you're a child of God. You made in the image of God. How is it that these people are treating you this way? How is it that you are allowing it to happen? But it all goes back to being trained by parents and teachers and religion to people please. You know, you're just so focused on pleasing people that you don't take care of yourself. You know, so you got to take care of yourself. Continuing on, you got to make sure your needs are met. So have a plan A and then a plan B to fulfill your needs. So sometimes you may want to request something. You request something, you want something, you go for it, it fails. Have a plan B, have a backup plan to get that. Don't just accept the failure. Don't just settle for whatever the person is going to give you. So if they decide they're not going to give you what you want, don't settle for what the other alternative. Say, I don't want that at all. I'm going to go somewhere where I can get exactly what I want. Sometimes you compromise. Other times you don't compromise, because compromise is similar to settling. So you got to make a distinction. You got to make a decision with that. But try not to compromise either. You want exactly what you want. And if you're not going to receive that from that person, then that person can't be in your life. And that goes to my next point here. Terminate any relationship that doesn't value you. If you're not being treated with respect, that's not a relationship you should be a part of. Now, I know people got jobs. They got, you know, certain relationships where they kind of tied to the person, and you got to work that out. But you got to start valuing yourself and saying, look, I got to find a way to get what I need and cut off this person that is not treating me with respect. All right. So this also goes into just rebuking disrespect. When somebody says something to you that's disrespectful, who is they crossed the line, check them. Hey, don't talk to me like that. That's disrespectful. That's demeaning. I'm not receiving that. I'm not going to accept that. And then have a consequence. You know, maybe you leave the room, or maybe you leave the conversation, or you shut down and you don't give that person what they want until they show respect. Until they do what they're supposed to do. And you have to keep practicing all of this, because there are times where your people pleasing may kick in and you are almost like a muscle reflex, where you just kind of start thinking about others without taking care of yourself. Because you've been doing it so long, you might relapse and just fall back into people pleasing, because it's so natural for you just to do that and to neglect yourself. So you have to practice this. If you find yourself falling back into people pleasing, repent, get back up, and stay focused on your needs. Have that list of needs and wants on your paper and say, look, I need to make sure these are fulfilled. And don't settle for nothing. Like, one of the things that will happen often when you try this journey, where you try to become begin to value yourself more, is that people are going to try to say, well, oh, I see you standing up and you want this and you want that. Well, here's something, or here's an alternative. I'm not going to give you exactly what you want. And then what they're testing you to see if you're going to settle. Settling is the same as not valuing yourself. People who settle a lot, they're not valuing themselves. You want exactly what you want. You're not going to settle. So you say, no, that's not what I want. I came here for that. That's what I want. I'm not taking something else. All right. So you got to stay, you got to keep practicing this. As long as you practice it, the more you'll, it'll become a habit. And then it's almost like a reflex that you'll take care of yourself. You'll make sure that what your need, your needs are met all the time. And so that way you don't end up being left with no food on the table, like the example I gave. You know, you don't end up being taken advantage of by some narcissist where they just taking up all your time and your resources and you're left with nothing. Because you've already established, look, out of this relationship, I'm going to get respect and value, and I'm going to get something out of this communication. I don't want to be on the phone listening to your problems all day, and yet I don't get anything out of this relationship. And so once you have that established, they can't do that to you. You will find yourself saying, you know what, this is not going anywhere for me. This relationship, these discussions that we have when you just call me and you run your mouth for 2 hours about your problems, but I can't get any kind of sympathy or support or value added to my own issues in life. This is not an even relationship. And so you begin to just say, this is not what I want. You see, but prior to that, the people pleaser would just put up with it because they think that they're being helpful to that person by listening to their problems all day. But then they're being neglected. They're being neglected. Their needs are not going met. And in reality, and like I said, in this very selfish world, if you don't take care of yourself, nobody else will. The only people that will look out for you is other saints. That's it. The world ain't going to take care of you. And like I said, this is one of the main determining factors if you're really dealing with another brother or sister in Christ. Do they care for you? Do they look out for you? Do they consider your needs? If they don't, they're probably not a child of God. As simple as that. Brothers and sisters in Christ, look at each other's and make sure their needs are taken care of. All right. Let me go back to that passage. Philippians chapter 2, verses 4. It says, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. That statement is coming from Philippians chapter 2, verses 4. And this is how we are when we have the Spirit of God in us. We're going to look out for other brothers and sisters in Christ. It's as simple as that. I know it because that's how I am. But I had to learn to be better at taking care of myself first. What are my interests? Make sure I'm being taken care of out of the deal. Because there's a spirit out there of error that makes you think you're being so godly by letting people just use you, take advantage of you, take up your time. You're just being sacrificial and helping people. Yet at the end of the day, you're drained. And you're not valuing yourself because you need stuff too. So you got to write that down on a sheet of paper. Look, this is what I need. And I'm going to make sure I get this. And any relationship that does not provide this back in return, I'm going to have to terminate that relationship. Every relationship must be a mutual reciprocation going on here. Okay. It shouldn't be where you walk away from that and you're less. You don't have as much and they get more from you, but you getting less. That's not how it works. Even with children, children ought to bring, you know, even some most children can't give you little babies can't give you much back. But they do give you back joy just for them being there. However, when they get older and you're trying to train and raise them and you're sacrificing, at some point, if they're not giving back obedience, respect, and valuing you as a parent, if they're old enough to take care of themselves out there, they should probably be pushed out of the nest. You know, you don't keep taking care of a child that is not respectful and not valuing what you provide for them. And not listening to your counsel. So we just got to keep all this stuff in mind. Don't feel like you're being selfish. You're practicing self-care. God wants you to take care of yourself just as much as you take care of other brothers and sisters in Christ. And once again, like I said, it's about valuing Everybody, not just yourself. You know, selfish people, they just all about them. And that's why they're the problem. They don't think about anybody else. So that's all I got for you. Until next time, walk in the spirit and be blessed.